we're looking at Gideon from the Bible. We've been working through the story of Gideon the last 5 weeks. This is week six. And this morning is about how God keeps his promises and brings them to fruition. Now, these guys have just made some promises. They promised to bring Jack up in the family of the church. They promised to bring him up in the faith. They promised to pray for him. We will see over time whether those promises come to fruition or not. Sometimes we make promises and we don't manage to keep them. Sometimes we do keep our promises. We're going to hear this morning how God always keeps his promises to us and hear some of them. Now, there's a time of year, isn't it, when certain few of us make some bold promises. Do you know that feeling on January the 1st when everything's going to be different this year? Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. Here, I've got the top five New Year's resolutions that get broken in our nation. Turn to the person next to you and see if you could have a conversation about what you think's in the top five. Off you go. Right, okay, right. Right, come up. Can you come up, you two? Brilliant. You're not going up, all right, but you don't have to. Come on, Amy, just take that. Take that. I can't have brows. Connie, you can help me. Connie, you can help me. Take that, but keep the number facing people and the text facing you. Can you come up and help me? That'd be brilliant. Thank you. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Right, I'm after one. Oh, Emily. Emily's coming. Right, come on, girls. Right, okay, so the number facing people, so number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, when someone says you're one, no, you're five, go there. When someone says you're one, you need to turn round. You are 3, 2, 4, 4, 5. When someone says yours, you turn it round, okay? Yeah, so yours is quit smoking. Yours is, yeah, you know you can read that, can't you? Volunteer, spend more time. Right, okay, my friends. So my question to you is, can you make them turn? Can you make them turn on the side there? Can they see that? But sort of hold it a bit, hold it a bit like there towards you. Okay, so can you make them turn? Who wants a go at making them turn? Our number one, our number two, our number three, our number four, our number five. I think they can see them through there, but you know, right, okay. Kate, can you make anybody turn?
I certainly can every year lose weight.
Lose weight, yes, it's the number one. It's the number one. It's the number one promise we break. Who thinks they can? Alex, who can you make turn?
Do more exercise.
Do you know, actually, weirdly, that wasn't on there. But I think it must be in the top 10, surely. Andy Frost, I'm coming over. Make him turn, Andy.
Drink less.
Number three. There we go. Drink less. That's one of the promises we break, Jan.
Give up smoking.
Quit smoking. Number two. I think four and five are harder. Any more for any more? Peter?
Get more exercise.
I think that should be up there. I think that should be one, but it's not one of the ones that I got on mine. Nick?
New job.
Is it a new job, girls? No. These are surprising, actually.
Be nicer to people.
Be nicer. A bit. Number four's a bit like that. What can you do in the community to be nicer to people? Volunteer, have we got volunteer? Yeah, I'm going to volunteer this year. I'm going to help out more. Yeah. We've heard that one. And then the other one is to do with people very close to us. What do we all say?
Know your neighbour.
I think that's one that people break, but no, not that one. This one is, what is it, Emily?
Spend more time with your family.
There you go. That's one that they break. Well, you're spending time with your family this morning. You're close to there. Brilliant. Give these guys a little clap. Fantastic. Brilliant. Just put them on the side there. There we go. So there are promises. We will always, in our life, there will be some promises we make that for whatever reason we can't keep. And there will be promises in our lives that for whatever reason we do keep. One of the best promises ever made to me was on my wedding day from my wife. And 14 and a half years in, she's still keeping those promises, which is wonderful. And we will try to keep those promises to one another until the day when one of us goes to be with the Lord. I would imagine that in this room, there have been promises that you have made, some of which you have followed through on, and there will be promises which you've made that for whatever reason you haven't been able to keep. They might be small and trivial in some ways, like our New Year's resolutions. Other may be more measured. Sometimes there will be people in this room who've had promises made to them that sadly people have not followed through on. And some of you will have had promises made to you that wonderfully have been fulfilled. Some of you are still waiting for those promises to be fulfilled. We've got a story about a promise that is kept this morning from Gideon. But we've been doing the story of Gideon from the Old Testament for the last 6 weeks now. This is week six. If you're like me, you might have only been here 3 out of those 6 weeks, because even vicars have to take their holidays at some time. So we're just going to have a little recap here of the story, because there'll be people that are here for the first time. And I wonder if anyone can help us out. Our story started, Gideon is someone from the Old Testament. So this is a story of the people of Israel. After Moses had led them out of Egypt, and after Joshua had led them into the Promised Land. They were in the Promised Land, but they kept messing up, and other people kept coming in to take over their land. So I've got my first picture here. Can anyone remember how it started? What was happening to the people of Israel? There you go. Was anyone here week one? Can anyone remember that far back? What was happening, Alex?
It went down under attack from the Amalekites, was it?
Brilliant. You've got that. They were under attack from the Amalekites and the Midianites. But the Amalekites were the Midianites' mates. Brilliant. So you can see there, they were burning their crops and so forth, and they had to live in caves. So the people of Israel cried out to God, how are you going to help us? What happened next? What happened next? How did God, who did God bring? There we go. Come on, Peter, well done.
An angel came to Gideon.
An angel came to Gideon. And one of the things he said, I don't know if you remember, he said those one words, hello, mighty warrior. And Gideon went, oh, I'm rubbish. I'm like from the weakest tribe and I'm from the weakest family. And God gave him a new name. And one of the promises God said to him, this angel of the Lord, I will be with you and you will strike down the Midianites together. That was a promise that he had made. Okay, so next picture there. What was the first thing that God instructed Gideon to do? Before he went into battle or anything. Like this is it. Go on, Deirdre, tell us. Denise, sorry.
To tear down the Asherah pole.
To tear down. They've been worshipping other gods. And he said, look, tear down those idols and those things. So that was a big deal for Gideon to do. Next, the Lord called Gideon into battle and said, right, you're gonna take these Midianites. And was Gideon up for that? Or did he just try and say, well, what are you really saying to me, God? What's going on here? What's going on here? What happened next? What happened next? God, people have been away this summer.
It was the fleece. That's the fleece in his hand. It was a test. If it's got dew on it, then I'll believe what's going on. And then there was another test, very similar, which you can explain better than I can.
That's fantastic. So he said, look, if I've really got to lead our armies and kick these Midianites out, then please put dew on the fleece, put the ground dry, all the rest. God did that. Then he said, oh, I'm not quite sure. Could you show me again? This time, could you make it dry and make the dew wet? You know, so that's good news for the timid amongst us, isn't it? And those that need a bit of help on there. So that's what happened. And then, here. So he brought the armies together and he started off with an army of 32,000. And God kept saying, that's too many. I really want to show you how I'm going to work. And he got them down to 300. All the men that lapped the water with their hands were chosen for the army, and all those that didn't lap, or the other way around, was the same. So he chose 300. He went down from 32,000 to 300 to show the Lord's hand. So today, we pick up our story. So is God going to bring that promise that he would lead him into battle against the Midianites and they would restore? That was God's promise to him. He would restore him into the land. And we take this up in Gideon 7. Now remember, he's only got 300 men against the might of the Midianite army. So what's going to happen? Oh, sorry, he first he strengthened him. That was last week, forgive me. He strengthened Gideon by sending him down to overhear a dream in the Midianite camp where God had shown that he was going to defeat the Midianites. Here's the Midianites talking about their dream. So he gave Gideon some encouragement. Brilliant. So where are we today? I'm going to read this out. Dividing the 300 men into three companies, he placed, wait for it, trumpets and empty jars in the hands of all of them with torches inside. Watch me, he told them. Follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. When I and all who are with me blow our trumpets, then from all around the camp, blow yours and shout for the Lord and for Gideon. Right. I fancy a little bit of reenacting. Anyone here like making a really loud noise in church? Anyone here? Anyone here? Brilliant. Come on, you can be the leader. Right. Your promise here. I need more than that. I need more people to make loud noise. Children and adults are like, come on then. I know, Joe, you love a loud noise. This is really simple. You can do this so well. My only condition is that you get... I need more people than this. I need more people than this. Brilliant. Loving it. Well done, Joshua. Fantastic. My only condition with this is that these whistles, which are the trumpets for today, that they go back to mum or dad or whoever's brought you after we have our moment here. I've got some flashing lights as well because they're for the torches in the jars. So, pick your weapon. People are very welcome to join us. Go on, come on. Quickly. Do, 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 do. Right, brilliant. Okay, now can you go to somewhere around the church in the aisles? Spread yourselves out around the aisles. Okay, we're circling the camp. Right. And when I say, this is great that you get to do this in church, you can run around. Can you run around in this way so you don't bump into one another? Keep running around this way, making as much noise with a whistle as you can as you go. So you're going to go around this way. There you go. I did have 20 whistles, so there's more there if you want to get involved. There's more there if you want to get involved. So Gideon, I'll tell you to go, okay? Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just after they had changed the guard. They blew their trumpets and broke the jars that were in their hands. They were full of torches. The three companies blew the trumpets and smashed the jars. Grasping the torches in their left hands and holding in their right hands the trumpets, they were to blow. They shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." So you lot are shouting, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." Can I hear that?
A sword for the Lord and for Gideon.
You lot are running around like loonies blowing your whistles. Right, 3, 2, 1, go! Oh! Rubbish whistles! Brilliant. Okay. Thank you very much. Return to your places. I think that's what you get, Vicar, for buying whistles that are 75p for four in Tesco's. That didn't really work, did it? But you get, thank you. You get the idea that there was terror and there was confusion. And we can see as they carried their torch, this is the middle of the night, just imagine being woken up in the camp You've got all these torches coming round. I have my two flashing lights there. And you've got all of the noise of the trumpets. And it says, while each man held his position around the camp, all the Midianites ran, crying out as they fled. When the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords. And the army fled to Beth Shitta towards Zerorah, as far as the border of Abel Melalath near Tabath. There you go. Well, that was an exciting word to say in church just there, wasn't it, as well? There we go. Fantastic. Not often you get to do that. And there we can see the men fighting one another. So the Lord delivered the land back into the hands of the Israelites. He did it through a way that we wouldn't have expected. He did it through chaos. He had a plan and he showed that it was him and him alone. 300 men against the might of the Midianites on there. God keeps his promises even when it's in a surprising way. Even when we think the odds, like Gideon, are stacked against us. Whoever feels like the odds are stacked against them when they're sharing God's word in their life, yeah, I feel like that sometimes. But this story shows us that when the odds are stacked against us in our personal lives and in our spiritual and corporate lives, and of course there's a massive wedding together of those things, that God keeps his promises and God can change things through surprising circumstances. I'm just going to invite Peter Collard up now, just to talk about something that he's been involved with. We've been reading the story of Gideon, and here is a story of some people over the years who share the same name, the Gideons, who, against all the odds, have been making sure that people have the opportunity to respond to God's words. So you're a Gideon, Peter. Just tell us briefly, what do the Gideons do?
Basically, we want people to come to know Christ, and we do it through distributing Bibles. You'll probably have come across maybe the one in a hotel. There's ones that we get that we distribute in hotels. There are NIV Bibles, and that's a full Bible. Then there's ones that go to, these are ones that we distribute personally to people that we give away. These are the ones that go to schools. I'll talk about that in a minute. And this one, I'm not sure it's bulletproof, but we do give them to the army. And there have been stories of people whose lives have been saved when they've been shot and the bullet hasn't gone through.
Fantastic. So you've been sending God's word around the world. And yeah, what is it that you...
We distribute actually about... in the last 12 or 13 years, we've distributed 1 billion Bibles.
1 billion Bibles across the world. Fantastic. Brilliant. That's across the world. What have you been doing locally, Peter?
Well, around Glossop, and in fact, I'm just about to start this week ringing around the schools. We go into all the Year 7 assemblies, and we give out that little red Bible. We give that to all the kids in the Year 7s. So in the three secondary schools around, for those who don't know much about the schools, that's 12-year-olds, basically. We give out, probably this year it will be between 400 and 500 Bibles to the Year 7s. And I guess there are probably people, I know there are people in church here who still have their Bible they were given when they were 12.
And I hope that they've read it on there. And I know, and church contributes towards that each year. Part of our giving, we tend to give a discretionary grant to the givings each year. I just want, before you go, I know you've got loads of stories. Just one story of how someone's life has been changed through the work of the Gideons and God's word.
Well, this is actually one of those school Bibles. And it was a story that was told by, it was a woman who was at the Diocesan Synod, where we were discussing trafficked women. And this woman had been trafficked in Central Europe, and her brother had given her the Bible that he got at school, and it had been lying around the bottom of her rucksack. And she started reading it, And she said it was the promises it had in it that allowed her to escape from being trafficked. She escaped. She wouldn't have had the courage to do it, she said, without having read the Bible and seeing what promises God had made to her.
Fantastic. That's a brilliant story. Thank you. So our work... That's like brilliant, brilliant, like Gideon. So like Gideon, there, fearlessly spreading God's word on there. And lives transformed and changed. God kept his promise to Gideon. That lady has had her life transformed by God's promise to her. What are God's promises for us this morning? Around the church, there's five envelopes. I don't know if anyone has seen them. Can they bring those five envelopes to me? That would be fantastic. So if you want to chase around, if any of the young people want to chase around and do that, that would be great. I know sometimes you have to sit in church for ages. This is your chance to run and grab an envelope and come up the front and do something different. There we go. You're doing brilliantly. Come up here. Come up here. I've only got one. Brilliant. I've got hope. Fantastic. Can you see them? They're numbered 1 to 5. That's brilliant. Okay, come up here with me. You've done lovely. That's brilliant. We've got number 1. We've got... Right, let's line up again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Come in, Joshua. Thank you. Thank you, fellas. Right. Hope. Brilliant. We're just going to look at some of God's promises to us. And I hope that you find out a little bit about God's character. And I hope that you are reminded, as God promised Gideon, these are some of God's promises to us. Right. Here we go. If you could read that out, please. Oh. Should we read that out together? I'm going to read this out again. Let's all say it. It's up on the screen. This is a promise from God. 3, 2, 1. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified of anyone or anything. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Whatever you're facing, whoever you're facing, that is a promise from God to us. Just this morning, whatever your circumstances are, take strength from that, like that woman that was trafficked. Do not be afraid or terrified of anyone or anything, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. That's his promise. Joshua, what have you got here? You can read it out yourself if you like, or I can read it. The choice is yours. Do you want to read it? Yeah? For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster. To give you a future and a hope. Thank you, Joshua. That's brilliant. Isn't that amazing? That's whatever. There we go. Oh, there we go. You're doing great. You can go back to Mummy and Daddy if you want. You see them. They're fantastic. You've done a great job. God knows what he has for us in our life. This is a promise from God that whatever we're going through, even if it looks like it's rocky or difficult, his plans ultimately are good and not for disaster. They're to give us a future and a hope. What a promise from God. What have you got here, Hope? And the choice is yours. Would you like to read this or should we read it together? We're going to read it together. So let's read it together. These were actually a promise from Jesus. He says, let's say it together. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Fantastic. A promise from Jesus. If ever you're weary, if ever you're burdened by life, I tell you, I get like that sometimes. He has promised to give us rest in our souls. This is God himself saying, I'm gentle, I'm humble in heart. This is a promise for you. Right, what do you want to do, Alfie? Do you want to read this out or do you want us to read it together? It's up to you. You can read it if you want.
Together.
Let's do this together. But we'll hear you. So we say, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world,
but to save the world through him.
What a promise that is. Sometimes we think, don't we, that God's disapproving. Sometimes we think, God's judging me. I was at football on Thursday night, and they all know I'm a vicar. And two of the fellas just, I mean, they're joking, but in a way they're not. They always come out and they say things like, you don't want to listen to me, vicar, I know I'm going to hell. You know, can you believe it? People think that. They think that they're condemned. And it might be, well, it means they are condemned until they find Jesus. They're true on those things. But people think God's going to condemn them. But actually, God came into the world as Jesus Christ, not to condemn the world, but to save the world through him, to rescue, to say, come back, I love you, this is my character, this is what I'm like. And did you see that? Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. If Jack grows up to believe and follow Jesus Christ, he will not perish even in death. He will have eternal life. Now that's a promise. And we have a decision. Is that promise to follow? Is that promise true? Or do we think Jesus isn't trustworthy? But that's a promise given to us. Our final promise. Do you want to read it, Joe, or should we read it together? It's up to you. We're going to read it together. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Well, that's a promise. I need saving. I know that. I need saving. I need saving when I die. I need saving from myself. And I need saving from others, frankly. Because I get some things right. And sometimes I act out and I live up to the beautiful person God has created me to be, his handiwork. And frankly, sometimes I don't. And I need rescuing from that. And this is brilliant, because this is a promise from the Bible that says, if you confess with your mouth, if you know Jesus is Lord, you guys were promising that earlier. You were saying, okay, he's Lord. I'm going to follow him. If you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that he's not dead, but he's alive and alive to us by a Holy Spirit, you will be rescued. You'll be saved. That's a promise to us today. Thank you, fellas, for making those promises come alive. Thank you very much, Hope, for making those promises come alive. You can just pop them down and you can go back to where you were sitting. That's great. Before we praise again, we're just going to say just a couple of those. We're going to pray for one another. Could I invite you all just to stand? This is a really easy thing to do. And we'll all have things in our lives where we need to be strong and courageous. I know some of us are moving shortly. I know some of us are going to new schools shortly. I know that some of us are thinking, I really want to share Jesus, but I don't know how to do it. I know that some of us are facing difficult family situations. You don't need to tell people what you're facing. And this may be new for a few of you. But Hannah, can you just come up? You can help me out with this. And what I want you to do is just for the person next to you, you might, if they're happy, you might want to put a hand on their shoulder. Sorry, are you happy with that? Yes, that's fine. Good. Model demonstration. Brilliant. So, and then just say those words as a prayer for them. Hannah, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified of anyone or anything. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. There we go. That's my prayer for you. That's my reminder. And then do it back to the other person. So off you go. Have a go at doing that. There's the words there. Off you go. Let's pray that for one another. Praying that one for one another. Your power, your glory is stronger than any of these things in the world, Lord. Your promises shall win out. You are the God that keeps your promises. You are the one that will keep those promises and bring them to life in our lives and eternally in heaven. Help us to trust in your promises, even when We are wondering how on earth they are going to be fulfilled. We know that the kingdom, the power, and the glory is yours forever. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to end.